Let us pray. Father, send forth your Holy Spirit to quicken our minds and open our hearts and give us the will to apply your commandments to our lives. Father, truly may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to begin today by saying a name and asking you, what is the first descriptive adjective that comes to mind? Okay, so here we go. Ready? Cal Ripken Jr. Iron Man. Did I hear Iron Man out there? How about Mother Teresa? Saint. Yeah. Adolf Hitler? Bad. Animal. Come on, T.J. Oshie, anybody? T.J. Oshie, I'm looking. Okay, he won for the Americans yesterday against the Russians in the shoot-off. He scored the winning goal to beat the Russians, and he's now a household name. All right, that one didn't work so well. Two more, here we go. Christian. Hypocrite? Is that what no. One more, last one. God. God. Names have meaning, don't they? They're filled with weight. You misspell a name in the bulletin, we correct it. That's not who I am. You're falsely accused, you want to clear your name. Criticism of many churches is, I came to that church and no one ever asked me even my name. What are they saying? I didn't matter. I wasn't valuable. No one even cared to reach out to get to know me. Coaches will say to their players, hey, look, don't tarnish the school name, right? Names are not value neutral. They reflect character and actions, influence, authority, and values. Name. What reaction does your name get with those who know you well? If I was to say your name, what's the first thing that comes up in people's minds? This winter, again, we're looking at the Ten Commandments. The commandments were given to the people of God as a blueprint of God's family values. Israel already loved. They're already in the family. They've been saved and redeemed. They get into this relationship with God, and God says, here, look. Here's how the family of God works. Here's the character and nature that I'm going to infuse into you. And so we receive the Ten Commandments, God's household rules for the family of God. Today we're looking at the third commandment, Deuteronomy 5:11, which reads, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." In other words, God wants his family to honor the family name. Let's ask, what is God's name and why was it given? Now, prior to leading the Israelites out of Egypt, God was known as El. El, E-L in the Hebrew. God, being. It was always followed by a descriptive, so we'd say El Shaddai. Being Almighty, Elohim, the being above all beings, and so on and so forth. El did not describe, it just was being, almost supreme being. It didn't describe the character and nature of God. And so when he breaks into Moses' world and says, Moses, I'm going to have you lead my people out of Egypt, Moses is like, listen, I got to tell him I'm being sent by somebody. What's your name? And then he says, I am, God says, I am who I am. Hebrew words, Hebrew letters, Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. The point of the name was God is self-determined. His character can't be changed, made up, or influenced by outside sources. He is who he is. His essence has always been, is now, and will be forever. The Bible then gives descriptions of The I Am, Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Father, Savior, Redeemer, Friend. But the point is, his name, I Am, connotes a being that's outside of creation and the makeup of our minds, that's consistent in its character at all times and in all places. Just on a side note, do you know how we got the English word God? Anybody know? In the 4th century, the German Goths were raising Cain, to put it lightly. They were killing, murdering, pillaging. And a priest said, wait a minute, rather than being fearful, let's share the gospel with them. So he literally went on a one-man crusade and was used to bring revival and renewal among the German Goths who were sacking Rome. And their word, Gott, he took, a German word, God, he took and said, you know what, this is going to be the word, their word for God, because it had a connotation of commander, leader in it. And so our word God came from the 4th century from a missionary who went to share the gospel with some German crazies. Isn't that kind of cool? Anyway, you can go to sleep now. That was, you know, worth the sermon maybe. Now, what does the third commandment mean, okay? The literal Hebrew translation is this. Listen, do not lift up or employ the name of Yahweh for an empty purpose. Huh. Because Yahweh will not leave unpunished anyone who employs his name to an empty purpose. In other words, don't take up his name for any purpose other than which it was given, to reflect the character and nature of the one who's graciously made himself known. It prohibits the misrepresenting of his character and the misuse of his name. Why is it so important? Why is it so important, this whole idea about the name and not employing it for a wrong purpose? Well, you know the gospel, don't you? The beginning of the gospel, the good news is actually we're separated from God. God's way over there, and we're here, and a great chasm exists because of our sin. He's holy and perfect and other, and we're actually, as his created beings, are not. And so there's a wall between us. Now, can we find God on our own? The answer is no. We'll make him in our own image every time. Unless God comes over the wall, bridges the chasm, and tells us who he is, we'll never know. And see, so the tendency is to take his name and make him into who we want him to be. Many of you might have had a father with a certain characteristic. Maybe it was a good one or one that was left you wounded. Not blaming fathers, just saying. You may transpose that onto God and think God must be like that. And so therefore, his name and what you view him becomes the image that you've made. This commandment is given to say, wait a minute, you're wrong. Refuse to make God, his character and nature, into the image that you've created for him. You need to receive revelation of who he is. Do not dishonor God and disregard his presence, power, and person. And do not make him into your own image. One theologian puts it this way. To treat Yahweh's name with disrespect is to treat the gift of himself lightly, to underestimate his power to reveal himself, to scorn his presence, to reject his love, and to misrepresent his nature to humankind. How we treat his name reflects what we really know about him. We were having a discussion in our family devotions yesterday, and one of my daughters was bemoaning the fact that most of her classmates and her teachers are constantly using the word God when they get frustrated, or Jesus Christ. And she was saying, what do? I need to try and teach them not to do that. And we had a little discussion. We said, well, wait a minute. Before we try and tell them not to use the name, could it just indicate how they view God? Could it just indicate that maybe they don't know who he is and they don't know how his name would be? Maybe they need to actually come to know the God they're talking about and the person of Jesus Christ before they start honoring his name. Again, we're reminded the commandments came after Israel was already in the family. Before we start pointing fingers at all those people out there who might use the Lord's name in vain, we have to ask, wait a minute, maybe it's because they don't know the name. Maybe because it hasn't been revealed to them. Maybe God's calling us to share Jesus and the God of the Bible first, before we ask them to stop changing their language. For isn't that what God did? Well, what ways do we misuse God's name? What ways do we misuse God's name? Well, of course, the easy one, is swearing. Using God's name or name in profanity to express remorse or anger or frustration. I asked my daughter Grayson about her favorite teacher, Mrs. Fox. Literally, Mrs. Fox walks on water and can do no wrong in Grayson's eyes. She still talks about her, even though she was a teacher from the past. I said, would you ever want to do anything to have other kids not like Mrs. Fox? Oh, no, no. I tell everybody she's the best teacher they want. When you're angry or frustrated at your sisters, would you ever start using her name to connotate how angry you are and how frustrated and how upset? No, no, no. I wouldn't do that. She's too great. I would never use her name to express anger, frustration, or to represent evil in any way. You see, in swearing, in misusing the name of God, we're actually, it's weighted and loaded. Not only does it show what we really think about him, but can you imagine if every time I was angry or frustrated, or banged my thumb with a hammer, or got hit in the face, in the nose, I yelled out your mother's name to connotate anger and frustration, or your child's name to encompass how frustrated, angry I was. Can you imagine? I mean, if I talked about you like that and used your name or you used my name, you'd say, what is going on? So many times, our gut reaction is to use God's name in a way that misuses and misjudges his character. Secondly, how we pray can dishonor the name of God. John 14 says, Jesus says, when you pray, pray in my name. Call upon my name. Lift up my name and pray. What does this mean? It means when we come before God and we lift up our requests for food or clothing or warmth or for the snow to go away or to win the lottery or whatever it is, we're saying, God, we want to align with your character and nature. So let's just ask, when we bargain with God and say, God, if you do this, I'll do this. Or if I'll do this, will you do this? And we bargain, what are we saying about God? He's a God who bargains. He's a God who waits for you to get your life together and says, if you do that, then I'll bless you. Is that the God of the Bible? No. The God of the Bible says, I'm going to bless you and pour out your grace and then let that transform you and help you want what you want. The idea being is sometimes when we pray, our prayers are inconsistent. If you ever prayed against your enemies, if you ever prayed, you know, with a heart that doesn't reflect God's character and love, maybe selfishly, so you can use what God gives to actually go farther away from him, to settle for his gifts rather than love the gift giver, you're misusing his name. We're misusing his name because we're not aligned with his character and nature of who he is and why he answers prayer. The most important way, I believe, that we misuse the name absolutely ranks, actually, I think, ranks the third commandment as one of the most violated and difficult commandments for us. Some of you are saying, I don't swear. I don't pray much either, so I can't violate it that much. I think number three actually reveals how numbers 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 are not taking root in our lives. Ready for this? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name, stop. When we receive amazing grace, when he wipes us clean, tears down the wall, invites us into his family, he gives us his name. The name that he gave to Jesus above every other name, he gives to us as members of his family. We become, ready for this? Not just image bearers, name bearers of the God of the universe. Christ men, Christian, Christ women. Do you see the problem? When I became a Christian at age 14, I received amazing grace. I knew God had broken in and forgiven me. God had a huge problem. He'd have 14-year-old punk running around Connecticut with bad language, didn't treat well, didn't dishonor his parents very well, and was pretty much just kind of a punk. In other words, I had the name now, and he'd done a work, but my life didn't reflect his family values. Do you know what the number one critique of non-Christians is of Christians? You're all a bunch of hypocrites, they say of us. You don't reflect the name you claim to believe. And isn't it true? I mean, if we had a video camera in your car or in your bedroom or in your office, or just pick a spot, which one of us would stand? Here we are, image bearers. The world's looking on. Wow, they represent the God of the Bible. I wonder what the God of the Bible's like. What would they say about the God of the Bible based on your actions at work or in your family? The same thing they'd say about the God of the Bible through my actions. Because none of us can live up to this burden of being name bearers of God. It's even more convicting. Not pointing fingers, just going to make a comment. Many people in Baltimore have taken God's name. They call themselves Christians, and yet they have no idea who he is or what he is like. Because they're not Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, and they grew up in America, yeah, I'm a Christian. And they're walking around as image bearers of God's character and nature. And you know what God says? I will not hold anyone guiltless for misusing my name. Wow. But we can't just point the finger, we've got to point the thumb. Because as I said before, none of us, those of us who are seeking Christ, our actions don't always reflect the character and nature of God. You see, this third commandment exposes us. It's convicting. As name bearers of God, do we reflect his character and grace all the time? No. You see, the third commandment gets to the very heart of how we live out our faith. What do people think of God's character by looking at your life and at my life, at our church, how we handle conflict, how we live? And because none of us have actions that 100% of the time reflect God's character and goodness, what do we do with this? How do we respond to this third commandment? As an invitation. As an invitation to know and love God and allow him to transform us. Like all other nine commandments, this commandment points us to our need for a Savior. An invitation to embrace the Savior. Why? Because there was a man that everything he did rightly reflected the name of God. You could look at him 100%, 24/7, and say, that's exactly what God is like and who he is. Everywhere his name was honored, and he honored the name of God. And in fact, in John, it says that about this man, Jesus Christ, he said, before Abraham was, I am. God became the flesh and reflected his name perfectly. And then Jesus was held guilty for our hypocrisy. He always honored the name of God, and God took the third commandment and the punishment for it and laid it upon him at the cross. May Jesus pay so we are free from the curse and from shame that our actions don't measure up. The world may not forgive us for our hypocrisy, but when we turn to Christ and admit it and come clean and say, yes, I was a hypocrite again, God floods in because Jesus paid for our hypocrisy on the cross. I became a Christian at 14. 2 years later, a youth leader, a guy, invited me to a Bible study, Young Life Bible study. My language was terrible. He let it go for a couple of months. And then finally he said, Dave, rather than focusing on your language, hey, do you want to learn how to read the Bible? He was the one who got me journaling, by the way, and taught me how to have a quiet time. Rather than focusing on not swearing, I couldn't change. I had a foul mouth. As I got to know Christ, all of a sudden, I stopped swearing. The transformation took place not in trying to fulfill the commandment, but in knowing Christ and Him who had already fulfilled the commandments. In growing in Christ, the fruit was that my actions began more and more to line up with the name that I had been given. God will not reject you because you're a hypocrite. He invites you and He invites me to know Him more, to have His life infused into our lives so that more and more we become like Christ more and more of the time. And that's the invitation of the third commandment. Lord, help me to know Your name and to love it so much that to every time I dishonor You more and more, like stings. It hurts. I was on a pastor's retreat this week, and about three quarters of the way through the trip, one of the pastors comes and just confesses something to me that he had done on the boat. I didn't think it was a big deal. But man, this guy loved the Lord so much, even a little thing, being out of sorts with one of the other guys, happened to be me, just had him to say, I need to go and confess to you this, you know, what I did. Of course I forgave him, but what left me speechless was, here's a guy who says, I love Christ so much, I'm not letting another day go by without making this right. Because I want to reflect God's love and grace, and I want to live in His freedom and joy. The third commandment is a gift because it reminds us who God is. It's an invitation because it allows us, it asks us, it invites us to say, Lord, would You transform me that I might be Your name bearer in this world? I wonder if there are people out there who aren't going to look at what God's doing in your life and say, I want whatever God does that in that kind of life. As we bear God's image, let us not misuse the name. And when we do, let us repent quickly, receive forgiveness, and ask God to change us and mold us that we might reflect His character and glory more and more of the time. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, many of us don't swear much anymore. Many of us are learning how to pray and more have Your mind when we pray. But Lord, all of us, none of us, live up to the incredible character and nature that You are as bearers of Your name. Lord, thanks that You don't kick us out of the family. Thanks that You give us Your Holy Spirit and You conform us and transform us into Your image more and more. God, we give You free rein to transform our lives into the image of Your name. God, that we may be, that we may properly bear Your name and share Your amazing character with the world and with each other. Give us Your Holy Spirit and the will to change and grow and learn and be transformed more and more into Your image. In Jesus' name, amen.